Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio, show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. Very important topic today. Fun topic, too. We're talking about the new exhibit that's launching at Pioneers Museum, Evidence, Finding the Facts About General William Jackson Palmer. Curator of History for the museum is here, Leah Davis with Roe. Hello.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. And this is quite the exhibit that is opening up this weekend.
Absolutely. Years in the making. We're thrilled to share it with the public. Can't wait to unveil it to you.
So let's start with this. And again, you've been working on it for years, but really there was a dig, wasn't it, over
yes.
at near Garden of the Gods Park?
Right.
Because that's Palmer built the house there at Glen Eyrie.
That's right.
And that's, how did they come? So there, you guys found artifacts there, and it wasn't just like, oh, we found a couple of artifacts. Like, oh, look, we found a teacup and a saucer. No.
No.
It was a huge site that you guys found.
Thus far, we found 60,000 artifacts.
Oh, my gosh.
Over 60,000. So you probably remember well, after the devastating Waldo Canyon fire, there were a series of floods that came down through Manitou and down Camp Creek. And to sort of avoid property and human damage lower down Camp Creek, FEMA is building a detention pond in the northern tip of Garden of the Gods Park. And in building this detention pond, they wore down the vegetation quite a bit with the earth movers and trucks coming in and out. And our city archaeologist, Anna Cordova, was surveying the site and noticed artifacts on the surface. And she picked up a few and began to put the story together. First of all, she found parts of a light bulb. Then she found an enameled brick, a Tiffany Company Chicago-made
wow.
enamel brick. And believe it or not, she took it back to her office. She Googled Tiffany enameled brick, Chicago, Illinois, Colorado Springs, Colorado, William J. Palmer. She was trying to put pieces together, and up popped a manufacturer's catalog from the early turn of the century, and in it it said, Tiffany enameled bricks are being used in the following residences, General William Jackson Palmer, Glen Eyrie, Colorado.
Wow.
This brick matches the bricks that were used to build the bowling alley in the bottom floor of Palmer's Glen Eyrie estate. So we have this connection.
Yeah.
Anna said, stop the bulldozers.
Yeah, stop what you're doing.
We can't put the pond in yet. And so we called in our colleagues at Alpine Archaeology. They work out of Montrose, Colorado. They came and excavated the site last fall, pulled out over 60,000 artifacts, took them back to their laboratory, and they're still in the process of doing the analysis. We'll get the final report in January. But we have learned so much thus far about Palmer. It's terribly exciting, adding to what we already know through documents and photographs and collections at the museum.
And you were saying, and of course, and Pioneers Museum came on, I believe it was last year, of course, talking about the dig and the artifacts and the importance of it. But you were saying for every artifact found,
yes,
for them to analyze and get through everything is
10, every hour in the field, 10 or more hours in the laboratory.
Wow.
The kind of scientific analysis that's been done on soil samples from flower pots, liquids kept in bottles. First of all, there are dozens and dozens of intact glass bottles mm-hmm. found in this trash dump. Really
wow.
rare.
Yeah.
The archaeologist I've talked to said this is a find of their careers.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
That is incredible. And like you said, all their finds from their fact-finding mission from all of these artifacts in January. And how many of these artifacts are going to be at the new exhibit, which we're going to talk about, but that's opening Saturday.
Sure. Well, not 60,000.
Correct. Correct.
But several dozen. What we're doing for the first time, we're trying a bit of an experimental approach. We actually are bringing together the discipline of archaeology and the discipline of history to really examine Palmer, his life, his family, and challenge our assumptions of what we know about Palmer and to bust some myths, hopefully. One of the interesting things about doing history in Colorado Springs is you hear the same stories over and over again, and it turns out some of those stories are not true. So using the archaeological artifacts and combining them with the written record, we get to challenge these myths. And in the gallery, visitors will actually get to use the tools of historians and archaeologists. There's a myth on a panel on the wall. Then they get to look at the evidence and come to their own conclusions.
Wow.
Is the myth true? I don't know. You'll have to come and see.
That's fantastic. Okay, we are going to take a break, and we're going to talk about more about the exhibit, again, which is opening up on Saturday. We've got more with Leah Davis Witherow next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Good morning. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We are talking with Leah Davis Witherow. She is the curator of history at the Pioneer Museum. And we are talking about the opening of their newest exhibit, Evidence, Finding the Facts About General William Jackson Palmer. Most of this, though, and again, you guys have been building this information for years, obviously, because, okay, he's like the player in the community. Let's just, right, as far as history is concerned, it is Palmer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so for folks, really quick, before we get into more details about the exhibit, which opens Saturday, which we're going to talk about, for those that may be new to our community, could you give us a little history about General Palmer?
Absolutely.
Glen Erie, for those, you and I were talking in the break, like for the first time, I'm a native. And I didn't know you could just go day tours there, you know. And I was like, I've never been up there. Oh, my gosh.
It's beautiful.
Why he built it. I mean, it is. It's like you're not even Colorado Springs. It's like you're in a different world going into Glen Erie. It really is. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you have not been, highly recommend, go do a tea or a...
a tour.
A tour. Mm-hmm. So can you give us a little history about General Palmer?
Sure. One of the most remarkable things about him, he's not just important to Colorado Springs or Colorado. He's actually a really interesting figure in American history. He grows up in Philadelphia, second largest city in the country, most industrial. He falls in love with railroads. He's an engineer, so he works for the Pennsylvania Railroad. And then at the outbreak of the Civil War, he joins the Union Army because he thinks slavery is wrong, and he's willing to put his life on the line for it. After the Civil War, he has a choice, what to do next. He has a promising railroad career, but he, like a lot of young men of his generation, turns his eyes west. He's going to seek his life and fortune in the West. So he comes out with the Kansas Pacific Railroad, building a transcontinental railway, but he has a unique idea, and that is to build a railroad from Denver to Mexico. While everybody else is building railroads east to west, he's going to build a north to south line. So he founds his railroad, the Denver and Rio Grande, and he also founds the town of Colorado Springs. He's tremendously important in the history of Colorado and helping develop Colorado economically. Mm-hmm. But of course, we know him best as our founder.
Yeah.
He brought his young wife, Queen Mellon Palmer, here, and he built Glen Erie. Originally, it wasn't a castle. It was a lovely country home, albeit 22 rooms, quite a lovely country home.
Yeah.
He had fallen in love with the Rocky Mountains, and he writes letters about never being quite happy anywhere away from the Colorado Rockies. So he picked what he thought was the most picturesque, beautiful canyon. They later named it Queen's Canyon after Queen, and built his home there where they would raise their children and live their life. And he worked to establish other towns in southern Colorado. He linked towns together through the railroad. He developed coal mines. He was a businessman who had a tremendous vision to sort of economically activate all of southern Colorado. In Colorado Springs, he helped found Colorado College, and he gave free land to schools and churches. He developed our park system. He donated over 2,000 acres of parkland to the city of Colorado Springs, had Palmer Park built, Maima Valley Park. His gifts are still present with us today. His legacy is still very much alive. And then in 1901, he sold his railroad, and he finally became a true millionaire, kind of, on par with Carnegie or Rockefeller. And he transformed his country home into the beautiful Tudor castle it is today.
Yeah.
And he brought his three daughters back from England to live with him there. His wife, Queen, had passed away in England in 1894. She didn't get to live to see the castle, but his girls did. And then he lived there until he passed away in 1909.
It's amazing.
It's a great story.
It's phenomenal. And again, you don't even think like, okay, Palmer Park. No, Monument Valley Park. I mean, you don't really, I mean, the history that is behind all of that.
Yes.
And was he part of the group? I'm assuming he was, or maybe the obviously, I think he knew the family that owns Garden of the Cods Park that said this will always remain free to the city.
Absolutely. So he was actually friends with Perkins, mm-hmm. who owned part of Garden of the Gods, and encouraged him to make that gift that his children made after his death. Perkins' children donated that land to the Garden of the Gods so that it would always remain free and open to the public. And today, that park attracts people from around the world.
Around the world, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, millions, a lot of people. So the exhibit is opening. I just want to give quick details kind of on the opening of the exhibit. Mm-hmm. And then I want to get into more details about what folks can see. Again, 60,000 artifacts. Again, they're not going to be there.
Many of them will.
But y'all would have lost your minds trying to get through that. Many, because the dig was only, what, a year ago?
Yes. But the beauty of having 60,000 artifacts means that this exhibit, which will be permanent, by the way, it'll be up for many years, we will be able to move artifacts in and out and keep the exhibit fresh.
Right, and rotate it out
rotate
in different
artifacts.
Pieces of history. And okay, so it is opening this Saturday, and for general hours, right? Or is there a special like opening ceremony?
Something you should know is that this weekend is also the What If Festival downtown. So it's going to be filled with excitement and fun, six city blocks of activities and engagement. And our opening is part of that celebration.
That's fantastic. Okay, so 10 a.m. on Saturday. Get ready. That's so exciting. Okay, we do need to take a news break. We will have more with Leah Davis Witherow. She is the curator of history at Pioneers Museum. Next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Joining us, curator of history at the Colorado Springs Pioneers Museum, Leah Davis Witherow is here, and we're talking about the opening of the amazing exhibit. It's starting Saturday, Evidence, Finding the Facts About General William Jackson Palmer. And we were talking in the break, Leah, and it's like, okay, so there was a General Palmer exhibit, but it wasn't that big.
No.
Okay, it was just kind of a little like, here's General Palmer, founder of Colorado Springs, kind
it's
of
a brief overview.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so now that, you know, the dig happened, found 60,000 artifacts, again, they're not all going to be in there at one time. We're going to kind of rotate them out. Could you imagine? I believe the whole museum would have been taken over by
pretty much
General Palmer artifacts. Where is the, because you and I were talking, you know, the Pioneers Museum, it's such an interesting building.
Yes.
It's a fascinating building, but it also is not a building you go, you know what? It's primed to be a museum, right? With the space.
That's right.
So where is this exhibit going?
So thanks for mentioning our building. We are in the beautiful 1903 former El Paso County Courthouse. We consider it our greatest artifact. It's a treasure.
Amazing.
We're so thankful it was preserved. But in terms of space for exhibits, it's challenging, right? These are 1903 walls, and all the rooms are shaped oddly. So we have to make use of the building while trying to preserve it at the same time. So the evidence exhibit is on the ground floor as you enter the museum, second floor, and it's to the left. It's in the gallery that previously held our behind-the-lens photography exhibit.
Perfect. And then did that exhibit move, or...
That exhibit went off of display because being exposed to light and the environment, mm-hmm. Photographs and all artifacts are damaged over time.
Right.
So at the museum, we have to balance preservation and access.
Right.
So that means materials can only be on exhibit for a few years, sometimes even a few months, depending on their fragility.
Wow.
And then they go back into our collections where they are preserved, and we care for them. Into perpetuity.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be right there to the left as you kind of walk in the main doors. And like you said, the building alone, if you have not been in that building.
Stunning.
It's an amazing building.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. And this, I want to get into details, but you were telling me, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more, but this is just one of three new exhibits coming to the museum for the sesquicentennial.
That's right.
So this is kind of the first of the three.
That's right.
Can we even talk about what the other two are? Or no, is that super secret?
I'd be glad to share it with you.
Okay, awesome.
So first of all, there has never been a more exciting time to do history in Colorado Springs because in 2021, our town, Colorado Springs, will be celebrating its sesquicentennial, as you said, our 150th birthday.
Yeah.
So this Palmer evidence exhibit is the ground floor. It's really the foundation. We think that it's important to get these stories right. You know, how did we start? Why did we start? What's Palmer's vision? Get that history right.
Right.
So this exhibit opens on Saturday. In 2020, we will be renovating the entire north wing of the third floor.
Wow.
And we'll be installing an exhibit that is temporarily called Cultural Crossroads. And it's about how the human history in our region goes back thousands and thousands of years.
Mm.
There have always been people in the Pikes Peak region.
Right.
And how this place has been a a center of trade and communication and travel for millennia.
Right.
So the entire North Wing will be renovated and reimagined. We're really excited about the potential for school tours. We have thousands of school children that come every single year to learn about the Pikes Peak regional history. And so that gallery will really be there for them. It'll be a thematic and chronological retelling of the entire human history of our region.
Wow.
And then in 2021, we will be celebrating Colorado Springs 150th, the sesquicentennial. And we're doing an exhibit that will be actually asking the public to help us select 150 artifacts to help tell 150 years of Colorado Springs history.
That's amazing.
So we're going to be asking for public input. I'd love to know what you think we should exhibit.
Oh, that's amazing. And if folks, I mean, let's face it, there's a lot of families here too.
Yes.
In our community that have been long-standing families. And I mean, once you get the input too, could you possibly even go to some of the families in the community and go, could we borrow that?
Absolutely.
Like, hey, can we show that? You know, I'm just thoughts.
Sure.
Thoughts.
People always ask me, where do your collections come from? We have thousands of objects, 80,000 photographs. We get them through donations from local residents.
That's amazing.
People who want to ensure that Colorado Springs history is preserved. And so families like yours, families like mine, will donate their artifacts to the museum. So this 150 years of history is really about 150 years of people living here.
Yeah.
So we want everyone to be included in some way.
And so when will you guys start taking inputs on the 150 artifacts?
Probably sometime later next year.
Yeah.
We'll be through Facebook, on our website, surveys, museum visitors will be asking for ideas and artifacts and help us tell this important story.
Right. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what's coming up. But now let's kind of jump in to the evidence exhibit opening at Saturday. And how could you possibly even like to tell the story, decide which pieces to grab from the dig and the find? And I mean, everything was found. I mean, so how do you even go, you know what, that paints a great pic? I mean, how do you even decide?
Well, first we decide on the stories we want to share. The myths that we want to bust, the assumptions we want to challenge. And then we look through our collections and look through the archaeological artifacts and find pieces of evidence that help put this story together. And that's the exciting part. That's the work of being a curator, a historian, is so much fun. And again, we want to share what that's like with our visitors. So when the visitors come in, they get to look at the evidence. So, for instance, one of the myths is that Palmer was a teetotaler. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you that both the archaeological evidence and the documentary evidence shows that he indeed was not. This is going to shake up people's assumptions of General Palmer, the stories that they've told over time. So there are over 30 different kinds of bottles that were found in the archaeological midden. And some of them are whiskey bottles and wine bottles and beer bottles. And we know from the documentary evidence that Palmer loved good food. He loved to entertain. He loved good wine.
Right.
His butler said he loved all of those things, but he never saw him the worse for it. So Palmer was not a teetotaler, but yet he created a dry town.
Right.
So that's why.
Interesting.
Well, we know why.
Right.
He actually told us.
Yeah.
In 1896, in an interview with the Gazette, he said, "We created Colorado Springs as a dry town for no moral purpose. We wanted to create a sustainable, family-friendly town that would draw people here, keep them here, so that this community would be long-lasting. It would be a healthful place for both invalids and families to come and live."
Well, and that was a focus, wasn't it? And you and I were kind of talking about the other areas that he founded along with, you know, other businessmen and like Manitou Springs, West Cliff, South Pueblo area, and some more. But wasn't that a really big focus? Because you see that in like TV movies and stuff like that. Oh, Colorado Springs was where everybody came if they were ill.
Yes.
And so that really, was that truly a focus for them?
Really was.
Okay.
So in the late 19th century, consumption was a disease that was killing thousands of people.
Yes.
It was a major health threat. Palmer is born born in Delaware, but raised in Philadelphia, this urban, industrialized city, like a lot of other cities, unhealthful. he wanted to, he saw in the West and in this place in particular, at the foot of Pikes Peak, this town nestled at the base of Pikes Peak, he saw it as a healthful place where people with all different kinds of maladies could come, restore their health, breathe the crisp, cool mountain air, enjoy clean water, enjoy access to the mountains and the parks and the forest, and recuperate. And so he designed Colorado Springs to be a respite, a resort, if you will, that would attract people from all over the world.
Right.
And they came.
And they did come. Okay, we have to take a break. We'll have more when we come back on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We are talking about the opening of the evidence exhibit, finding out the facts about General William Jackson Palmer this Saturday at the Colorado Springs Pioneers Museum. And like you kind of mentioned, by the way, we are talking with Leah Davis Withrow. She is a curator of history at the museum. And a lot of it, and we were talking in the break, a lot of it is also kind of myth busting, getting the facts, putting it out there. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, though, that will be on display is letters, right, from Palmer describing his time in the Civil War.
Yes.
Which I bet is unbelievable.
It's incredibly touching.
Yeah. So folks can see, how many letters do you kind of have? Was this all found in the dig?
No.
These were found previously. They had them previously from family.
Right. The family donated them over starting in the 1950s, and we received the latest batch of correspondence in the 1997.
Wow.
They continue to donate artifacts to the museum.
That's incredible.
Yes.
But one of the things that will be kind of myth-busted at this new exhibit, right, is, let's talk about Queen.
How could we not?
So, and you and I were talking in the break, Leah, and her name may have had a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently she's kind of developed this, like, people think she was kind of like a little snotty pot, and she didn't like living here, and that's furthest thing from absolutely the truth.
That's right.
So I think it's the name, don't you? Her name, Queen. I mean, that might be. She's not royalty.
She's not royalty. She's not British. The name was actually given to her not by Palmer, but by her grandmother.
Yeah.
And she was called Queenie as a little girl.
Oh.
So she was 14 years younger than Palmer when they married. She was a beautiful young woman with a lovely singing voice, and she married this ambitious railroad man who was a workaholic, to be honest.
I've heard that he just was not. Well, look what he did.
Nonstop work. So over the years, the myth has kind of grown that she was spoiled brat, she didn't like Colorado Springs, that she was a terrible wife, none of which we know to be true at all. She actually was a pretty good sport in the earliest days. Her home wasn't built yet. She lived over the stables. She lived in a roughshod hotel in Manitou, lived in a tent for a while, took a trip to Mexico on railroad business with Palmer while she was pregnant with their first daughter. But in 1880, she suffered a heart attack on her way to Leadville with a friend, and she was pregnant with her second daughter at the time. And doctors told her she could not live at this altitude. She needed to seek a different climate. It's really an irony that a man who builds a health resort, builds this town to be a healthful place, his own wife has to travel abroad
and
to find her health. Exactly.
Yeah.
So after living in Rhode Island and New York, she traveled to England, and she found the climate really suitable to her health. He would go back and forth a couple times a year to visit his family. The girls were raised in England. But we have a letter written in the 1880s, and it is incredibly touching, in which she pleads with him to give up some of his railroad business, lessen his responsibilities, and as a consequence, live with less money, and come and live with them in England and reunite the family.
Oh.
But he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
He had too much weight of responsibility on his shoulders. He had too many irons in the fire, if you will. And he said he just couldn't give that up. But we know that despite the great distance, they were very much a family. We have diaries and letters and really sweet correspondence between Palmer and his daughters. He's very involved in their education, in their day-to-day lives, despite the great distance between
them.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And even though Queen did move to England, it's still, she really did not, what did you say? She died at 44?
She died at 44 years old.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
And she left her three daughters behind, something that she actually, when she wrote the letter, she said, if I did not want or desire most to see my daughters grow up. I would try to come back to Colorado, but I want to see them grow up to adulthood.
Yeah.
It's really touching.
Wow.
So after her death in 1894, the girls came back to live at Glen Eyrie. And then together with their father, they reshaped Glen Eyrie from the beautiful country home to the Tudor mansion, Tudor castle it is.
Yeah, it's really a castle.
Yes.
You imagine? No, castle.
It's a castle.
It's a castle. It's a castle. That's amazing. Okay, and so some other artifacts. We got some letters. What are some other artifacts they might see at this new exhibit that's opening on Saturday?
Well, we have the Palmer family Steinway piano. It's gorgeous.
Wow.
They love music in this family. Yeah. Elsie played, Queen played and sang. We have a dress that the girls wore as kind of a costume. They love to put on theatricals and plays and musicals. So we have a dress that they wore. We have an Italian trunk that they probably purchased on one of their many trips throughout Europe. And we don't know how or where it was used, but it was at Glen Eyrie. We have jewelry, hairpins.
Wow.
We have an abundance of letters and photographs. In the archaeological materials, again, pottery, and we have a matching pair of shoes. They actually pulled out a pair of shoes.
Matching shoes.
Matching shoes from the archaeology.
Did we know who? Did we figure out whose they were? Probably not. But
we're not sure.
That is amazing.
Lots of medicines. Lots of
liquor bottles, like we were just talking about. I'm just focused.
Lots of bottles.
That's amazing. Okay, so once again, we could keep talking. I mean, we could just keep going. I am so fascinated by all this. It's amazing. But the exhibit, again, is opening Saturday. I bet you guys have just been the anticipation of this.
We've been working feverishly on it, but yeah. We're so excited to share it with the public.
That's amazing. Okay, Saturday, and the museum opens at what time on Saturday?
10 a.m.
Okay, and then you're open till what time on Saturday?
We are open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we're always free.
Oh, that's amazing. And again, like you said, the What If Festival is this weekend. So
what a great time to come down to the museum, but also downtown Colorado Springs. So much going on. It'll be a fun day.
And is there more info on the website about the exhibit?
Absolutely. Okay. You can go to www.cspm.org to learn more about the exhibit and all our other activities going on at the museum.
Well, I look forward to seeing it. It sounds so exciting. You're awesome, Leah. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. It's been so much fun. I can't wait to see you at the museum.
Yes, thank you so much. And coming up tomorrow on The Extra, Sue DiNapoli, Ovarian Cancer Society, is going to be here. Lots of great info. That's tomorrow on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.